Welcome to the Biz Design Enterprise Architecture Podcast. I'm your host, Will Hardison, and in these podcasts, we talk to leaders in the areas of enterprise architecture and how they and their teams deliver value to their organizations to advance strategy, optimize operations, and reduce and manage risks. Now, let's get down to business.
Welcome, everybody, to the Enterprise Architecture Podcast produced by Biz Design. I'm your host, Will Hardison, one of the marketing managers here at Biz Design. And today I have Eddie Walker as my guest. And for those who follow Biz Design, Eddie might be a familiar name as he founded the company Edifit, which has recently been acquired by Biz Design. So while he is a familiar name and someone we've worked with for years, he's technically a brand new employee here at Biz Design. So, Eddie, first off, thank you for coming on the show today. And secondly, may I just extend a warm welcome as a brand new employee from all of us here at Biz Design. How are you today?
I'm very good, Will. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the podcast. And thank you for welcoming me to the Biz Design family. We're all delighted to be part of the team.
So, Eddie, I think there's two stories that will most likely come out of today's episode that I feel people will enjoy. And one of those is the story of your company, Edifit, and how you started, grew, and then sold, and what that looks like moving forward. And then the second story, there's this approach that you have, or a methodology, if you will, to enterprise architecture. And for now, I'm going to leave everyone hanging just for a few minutes, and we'll just call it the Karate Kid approach. But we'll get to that after your story. I think first, I'd love to kind of dive in on the Edifit story, and then we'll get to the Karate Kid approach. So if you don't mind, let's pretend you and I are riding in an elevator, and give me the elevator pitch for Edifit for those who do not know.
Sure. So Edifit, we founded back in 2011. We're an architecture consulting company. Really, our focus was on enabling businesses to achieve their sort of transformational activities, be they digital or otherwise. And we tended to advocate what we always call a model-based approach to that architecture. So using tools like Biz Design, principally Biz Design, to capture where they are, where they're going, and how they get there. So that's really what Edifit are all about.
Okay. So was there a driving reason behind starting your own company? I mean, did you see a need in the space, or was it just something you just had the burning desire to go create?
I don't know if I had a burning desire to go create it. I think, to be honest, as much as anything, it was just circumstance and timing. I was working quite happily in a consulting company. An opportunity came up to go and pick up some work individually. I went and I did that, and then I found some of the people I were working with wanted to come with me. So really, we were born out of that, and everything that follows really is a result of those initial tentative steps.
And you said that was, what, about 11 years ago now?
Yeah, 2011 we founded, September. Okay. 2011, yeah.
Now, let's go back to 2011, maybe 12 and 13 and 14. I'm sure, like anything, there were challenges early on and probably continuously through the company. But let's look at those early challenges. What were some of those in the business?
Well, I mean, when we first started, we were picking up a lot of contract work on some sort of major projects and initiatives, and really transitioning from picking up contract work into picking up managed service work, where we'd be brought in to actually deliver the solution or the outcome. That was difficult. It was just getting our name into the marketplace, really getting that exposure, and having that bit of a track record behind you that you could sort of lean on, so people could know we can trust these people to come do a good job for us.
So what did you do to overcome those challenges?
We worked hard. We got a bit of the track record. Obviously, we had relationships from before we founded the business that were incredibly helpful. And then the more we did, the more actually the good word started to spread around us. We didn't have a profound marketing budget. So really, it was sort of word of mouth that was driving us forward. And the relationship with Biz Design, even back then, was important for us. You know, we've worked with you guys since before we founded Edifit in our previous roles. And actually, that relationship and that connection was really important, really powerful for us.
What type of clients did you guys typically work with?
Mainly larger organizations, public and private sector.
Okay.
So I'd say the blend was roughly 50-50. So we were doing lots of work in central government at the time, but then a number of other customers in utilities and other areas that also came along.
So this is something that I particularly find fascinating. What were some of the common problems that you continuously found when working with other companies within their enterprise architecture teams?
Yeah, good question. So usually you get sort of dragged in on these things when there's like a major change activity happening. And there's always this challenge of discovery. Everybody has to go out and rediscover where they're starting from. So that was a common and recurring problem. Then it was really about alignment in terms of the vision for the change, clarity on sort of how they described and discussed things. And really what we tried to do with this model-based approach we were advocating was try and bring the consistency. So, you know, there was not ambiguity about when you say potato, I mean potato. Now, that sort of baseline discovery, that's often a challenge in a transformation type initiative, because you go do that work and the second the initiative finishes, that work's kind of thrown away and it's kind of picked up again and redone the next time there's a change activity that happens. So we were trying to kind of put roots into this idea, if you catch and maintain and water the repository, the model, that baseline of your data, that will benefit not just the initiative we're working on, but all of the ones that follow. And that really is a bit about managing change and thinking about how we can, if you like, maintain that corporate asset beyond the bounds of the change activity we were working on.
Now, it's, from my understanding, it expanded more than just like consulting services. You guys actually built products, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I mean, so over those early years, we had a good relationship with BizDesign. I mean, we were using other products and things based upon what the customers wanted. But our general advocation always was, you know, take BizDesign. This thing will give you what you want. I'd say maybe from 2015 to 2018, we really saw that transition. And more of our work became really centered around using BizDesign as that product. And of course, the more we did with customers of ours using BizDesign, and then the more we started to help you with your customers using BizDesign, the more we started to see actually there were kind of some recurring themes and patterns in what we picked up. So yeah, we started to build some add-ins to the product that really tried to knock over those, if you like, those early stage teething troubles. And that's what the add-ins were all about, trying to give the customer the ability to sort that themselves without needing, you know, various numbers of days of consulting support to get to that point.
And how did that go for you guys? I mean, do you attribute sort of either, I guess you could call that maybe a shift or just an add-on to your services? I mean, would you say that that was the successful path to growth, or are there other things along the way as well?
Yeah, good question. I mean, so growth for us, really, we've grown the team. So, you know, the key sort of dimension to our growth was very much about growing the team. Good people, listening to customers, trying to be pragmatic in what they were helping the customers achieve. The add-ins then really, to a certain extent, they were to help us, to help the customers. Because if we could land and be consistent in how we engage with them, how we consulted, how we defined the way we were going to capture this data, it meant that we could start to swap that work around between us, even at our sort of demand. So it helped us. It made our consulting and our engagement more consistent. But then I guess the sort of the snowball from there was people started to hear about these things. And then the add-ins started to have a life in their own, and we were then selling those to customers where we weren't working actively with them, either, you know, BizDesign were, or maybe the customers were just running under their own steam. And actually the add-ins therefore obviously grew our customer base quite significantly.
Okay. So let's fast forward then to the acquisition, right? So was this something, when you first started the company, I mean, did you have this idea in mind that I'm going to start this company, I'm going to grow it, and then I'm going to sell it? Or was this more of just a natural occurrence over the years, relationships formed, almost like, you know, kind of a dating and a marriage, if you will, like relationship formed and got stronger and stronger, stronger. And then someone said, hey, this might be an idea that we should look at.
So I didn't found the company with a view to grow something I would then sell. That was never the plan. And even back at the beginning, we were working closely with Biz Design on a couple of projects already. So, you know, I don't know if this is a cultural thing, but generally anything architectural, which is sort of innovative, kind of comes out of the Netherlands. Certainly found that in my previous company. Biz Design were no different. Biz Design were always incredibly friendly, always there to help. So it was very easy to strike up a friendship and a relationship that then became a partnership. And I guess sort of what we found over the 10 or 11 years that we've been running is that sort of alignment has just gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. So it was never a plan. We have talked about these sorts of things in the past. I guess it just came to a point where it just became such an obvious thing to do.
Yeah.
It was kind of, well, why not do it now? So that's kind of why we are where we are.
That's why you're a brand new employee here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
first month, by the way.
First month. Well, congratulations.
You made it through. Not even got a paycheck yet.
Oh, you haven't gotten a pet. Well, we can talk to somebody about that.
It's coming, I'm sure.
Oh my goodness. We'll talk to somebody. We'll make sure that gets cleared up. Well, what does this mean moving forward for both Edifit and Biz Design? And what does it mean for you, right? I mean, do you get to go sit on the beach somewhere, or are you rolling up your sleeves and continuing to get your hands dirty?
Sadly, no beach right now.
No beach.
The compelling reason for sort of agreeing to the merger, really, or the acquisition, was that the vision that Biz Design have right now and their ambitions, certainly around product and how the customer is going to interact with the product, really got us excited. We could see how what we'd been doing would contribute to that. And certainly to the point of being part of Biz Design, we've always sort of been on the periphery of where the product's going. So we're genuinely excited to now be inside the tent and really helping to shape and influence that. I think we are keen as ever to sort of grow and expand the customers that we work with, to support all of Biz Design's existing customers to really get maximum value from the product. So for me right now, no beach. We're very much bought into the vision that Biz Design have. We and myself and the team are going to come in to the consulting team. And we're hopefully going to be helping a load of customers out there all around the world, just getting better value from the tool and taking their input to help shape and build a better product for the future.
And after you do that, then you can go to the beach, right?
Oh, yeah. After five. After five is beach time.
There you go. I'm gonna throw you a curveball, if you don't mind. Since we're kind of talking about the future, let's kind of zoom out a little bit. I'd love to get your take on what you think the future is in store for enterprise architecture as an industry.
Oh, yeah, great question. So defining what enterprise architecture is sometimes contentious. And I'll be honest, quite often I don't like the term because it can be divisive. The world is kind of getting more complicated. And increasingly what was managed in one place by one team is now federated across a whole myriad of different suppliers and partners in our ecosystems. So the ability to have or the opportunity to have people in your teams, in your organizations, who can pull out and look at things holistically, I'd say is more important now than ever. Whether that's enterprise architecture or strategists or whatever it might be, you know, the term doesn't really matter. So I don't see the discipline of EA going away. I mean, it sort of rephrases and it works differently now, more in agile environments than it did in waterfall. But the ability to sort of say, yeah, but think about your decision in context is still incredibly powerful. And with the advances in technology and analytics and all of the things that are possible, I think we can do that far better now than we ever could before, because it's actual real data that's driving some of those decisions, whereas previously maybe it was a little bit of hunch and intuition. So sure. I don't see it going anywhere. I may be just seeing it become more and more of a science and maybe less and less of an art, which maybe it has been in the past.
Yeah. And I mean, I can attest to, I mean, I've only been in this industry for 10 months now. So you've got 10 years, I've got 10 months, but I can certainly, just by talking to folks like you, just understand that it's almost like this time warp of change that we've been, you know, thrown into, and that change is happening faster and faster and faster and faster. And, you know, COVID sped up a lot of that, obviously, but just in the terms of just new technology. I mean, you look at AI, right? Like AI, just what that is doing everywhere, not just in our own industry, but just overall with technology being able to, I mean, you can quickly go on to ChatGPT and say, spit out three paragraphs about X, Y, and Z, and it does it, which sure. is scary, very scary. You know, and I think whereas teams need to be able to zoom out and look at the big picture, a lot of times, kind of much like you were saying, and to be able to, you know, okay, where are we going? How do we plan for this? How do we look ahead? And to have that more so mindset than just, you know, 50 layers deep in an Excel spreadsheet of data, if you will, but to be able to pull out and, you know, see the forest through the trees, you know, for lack of a better term.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the future is terrifying and exciting in equal measure, I think it's fair to say. So better be part of it than sort of observe from the sidelines.
That's true.
With them, I view.
Well, let's talk about what we sort of mentioned in the beginning that we promised everyone we would get to, because I'm intrigued by it as well. This Karate Kid approach. So what is that?
Yeah, so I may have been misquoted here at some point. I'm not sure I could like give you a Karate Kid methodology. But one thing that we sort of talk to people about when they're adopting biz design and modeling tools in general is actually everything is about doing the simple things or the basic things brilliantly. And that sort of gave rise to this Karate Kid idea. So, you know, in the movie how Mr. Miyagi has him painting and he's brushing on and he's brushing off and then he's cleaning the floor and he's waxing on and he's waxing off. Really to get that insight into your architecture, to really do the what-if analysis and like use evidence-based decision-making, a lot of what we do is kind of similar. So mm-hmm. when we're on board with a customer and we're looking at their data, you know, we'll talk to them very much about how we need to be consistent in the way we capture that. So the discipline of defining the rules and then following the rules is a little bit like, my God, I'm just painting this fence and I'll never be finished. And then the discipline about how we might visualize that and present it is similar. It's the little bit, you know, waxing on and waxing off on the floor. But, you know, at that point where you're frustrated because you seem to have to pour an awful lot of effort into a model to start out, what you find almost by accident is that you have all of the basics to be able to do the karate, right? You know, all of those individual things that sort of on their own were a bit boring kind of come together to make you this adept fighter. And not that I'm saying architecture is like fighting, but that the skill comes because when those questions start to come at you, yeah, but what is the impact of this change? Or what do I do if, you know, the supplier or the partner does something else? You can answer those questions because you've yep. done the brilliant basics well. And everything then we drive out through analytics and sort of evidence is there inherently because we've done simple things really well. So that's really where we were going with this Karate Kid analogy.
So basically doing the simple things day in and day out really well.
Sure. Yeah. Brilliant basics, right?
Yep.
We work with an awful lot of customers who have the most amazing ideas, really, truly amazing. And sometimes we just have to temper that and go, well, look, you know, let's take step one and step two and step three and bear with it, because what you'll find by step four, some of those brilliant ideas you have got kind of come to fruition naturally.
Yeah.
That's really what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, and what is the saying? Like, ideas are free, but it's the execution that costs, right? So, I mean, everybody can, and I'm in marketing and, you know, have that creative brain. And every day I'm like, oh, what about this? What about that? And let's do this and that. But it's really the, okay, let's do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, right? And build up and actually do those simple, basic tasks that pull off those bigger creative ideas, right?
For sure, exactly that. You know, just try and prioritize the things that matter the most and try and do the simple things that make those things possible.
Yep. Well, sir, thank you, Eddie. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Again, may I say welcome to the Biz Design team. Congratulations on 1 month. We'll get you paid somehow. I don't
know. Thank you. That would be great.
but it would see, in all seriousness, congratulations on the acquisition of Edifit. I mean, I know it's probably bittersweet, right? I mean, you worked and poured a lot of effort into your company over 10 plus years. And then all of a sudden, I'm sure it's a little bit of a weird feeling to, you know, have a merger or acquisition to where it's not so much yours anymore.
I, to be honest with you, the fact that we are now part of Biz Design and we've worked so closely with Biz Design these past 10 years, it doesn't feel that weird.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Having somebody sign off my expense claims, you know, that's a little weird. But, you know, it's natural. We feel like we've been part of the family for a long time. You know, we're delighted to be fully into the family now. And we can't wait to see what the future brings. So.
Well, I know the story is only beginning between the two companies. And so I'm sure there's plenty more of story to come. And I'm sure everyone can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Ourselves too. Will, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Enterprise Architecture Podcast produced by Biz Design. Now, I have a favor to ask. If you enjoyed today's episode, or if you're an overall fan of the show, can I ask that you leave a positive review wherever you tune in to listen? Whether it's Apple, Spotify, or another platform, I would greatly appreciate it. And as always, if you want to be on the show or have a guest that you'd like to submit, please email podcast@bizdesign.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in a future state.